Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She usually has cold feet, even in summer, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Today I have the editor and founder of Allergic Living magazine, and Gwen is very kind enough to do an interview with me today, and she is my first overseas interview. So welcome, Gwen.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm really glad, and I know we've been doing some scheduling to try and get our diaries matched up so we can actually talk at a reasonable hour. So it's 3:30 where I am in Bulgaria and 8:30 in the morning for you over in Canada.
That's correct, and I'm sufficiently caffeined, so I think we'll be good.
Fantastic. Now, to start off, I'd like to ask you about your journey with allergies. Where did it start? How did it happen? How did you discover your allergies?
Well, I was one of those kids who had, bad pollen allergies and so forth. But we never knew of any food allergies when I was a child. I had a lot of gastrointestinal issues. So you look back and you think, maybe that was missed. But it was in the mid-1990s that I first had, as a young adult, a really severe reaction to a supper of fried shrimp. I was living in Florida at the time. I made my own shrimp. I didn't know it was allergy at first, but I really broke out into, the classic symptoms of itchy, red skin, hives, stomach cramps. It went very quickly badly for me. And the worst of all was I ended up with terrible breathing distress, stridors. My girlfriend lived close by. Instead of taking an ambulance, because I didn't know I should do that, we just she fortunately had her little sports car, and she just jetted me off to Tampa General, and it was a really bad reaction. It took a few doses of epinephrine to sort of bring me back to normal. It was kind of a jolt. And so that was my first foray. And then some years later, in 2004, I had a really bad reaction to soy and peanut, and ended up, it took quite a while to get soy diagnosed, because that really wasn't heard of very much in adults. But we finally figured out that that's what I was allergic to. But that was tough, Nina. That one took me, but again, I had an anaphylactic reaction with that. By this time, at least, I had an epinephrine auto injector, so I was able to use that. But it was, in both cases, it kind of rocks your world as an adult, because you've been, eating normally, and you're just really not expecting this.
Yeah, I bet. And I remember we were talking via email, and you were saying you were in your early 30s when this happened. I mean, that's quite, you've had the whole, basically, you're a fully fledged adult. You've lived on your own and you've got your routine, and then you're just thrown into having an allergy. I mean, how did you deal with that?
Well, I remember shellfish wasn't as hard to come around to, although I miss it to this day. I loved shrimp and lobster. And I remember, in fact, trying to sort of semi-interview the doctor, well, okay, if I can't eat that, how about, like lobster? Can I keep that? Can I keep clams and linguine? But, no, it was all off the table. So, that one was a little easier adjustment, but being the 90s, it was amazing the amount of information you didn't have. Nobody told me I was supposed to ask in restaurants about, what they were serving or whatever. And I think of some of the chances I took, and probably some of the minor reactions that I had that were born out of ignorance. I just didn't know any better. Yeah. But by the time I had, in 2004, I always joke, because it was July the 4th, and I always say, I think we people with food allergies sometimes have a bit of a black sense of humor, but July the 4th. So I said it was my own personal fireworks for the 4th of July, but it was bad. And that one was difficult, because I was mystified. Okay, it was a satay sauce on chicken. you know, I used quite a bit of it on the chicken. Again, I made it. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, okay, peanut seems an obvious ingredient. And I did, you know, in the testing prove allergic to that. But soy wasn't, but it did have soy protein in it. So they actually made me come back because they found this so, the allergist found this so unusual that he actually had me come back with a whole bunch of different soy products. So then they skin tested me. I was terrified they were going to make me eat it. And they said, no, no, you had a bad enough reaction. We don't want to do that. So they skin tested me with this, but I looked like a Thai smorgasbord or something. You know, I had all this stuff up and down my arms and just welts all over. And they said, okay, not much, you know, not much argument here. You have this allergy. But, you know, we tend to forget that I don't know what the statistics are in the UK, but in, you know, in the US and North America, it's about, you know, 4% of adults that have food allergies. And fair number of them are adult onset, particularly they find to things like shellfish or tree nuts. So, you know, it's not as uncommon as we might think.
Yeah.
It's kind of mystifying as to why it happens. And I haven't heard a lot of good answers to that yet. And I'm hoping we will get more research.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with allergies and allergy research, because it's such an ongoing process. And it's only, I mean, I was born in 91 and my allergy was, well, I had a reaction at 9 months old, so early in 92. So around the same time our allergies were discovered. But it wasn't research then. And even the research that's coming out now and in the last 5 years was started back in the early 90s. And it's only since following children and adults through development that they're actually beginning to actually have data. Which...
Well, that's right. I mean, in 2004, the Food Allergy Association, that's now FAIR, back then it was called FAN, and Mount Sinai, they did the first study that revealed the true size of seafood allergy. And it was a pretty big study. I think it was something like 5,500 households across the U.S. And they found that 2% had an individual with a shellfish allergy. So they actually found that pretty high and went back and looked at it again and then found out that actually if you pulled the children out, it was even higher. You know, it was something like, I think the result was something like 2.8%. I'm not absolutely positive, but I think I'm right on this because I've looked at it a number of times. So shellfish in particular, even more than fish, really common for adults.
Wow. Yeah, I actually, when talking with parents, I've talked to a lot of parents with allergic children. I mean, you have the dairy, you have the egg, you have peanuts, tree nuts, gluten and wheat, soy, but shellfish doesn't always come up actually.
No, it's not as common in children in any of the stuff in Allergic Living magazine. You know, we've been operating since, 2005. So, you know, we definitely have talked to a lot of people doing research over the years, and they just definitely find it more on the shellfish and fish a little more in children, but definitely shellfish more in adults.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean, do you know of any research that's saying why, or do we know anything?
Well, there is some research, but, you know, one of the things that Northwestern University did, it was in 2014, was that they did do a small study on prevalence and characteristics of adult onset food allergy. And they found that actually all of the major allergens were sort of represented in adults. I think they used people over the age of 18 and all the way up into their 80s or something. They did find more women than men have adult food allergies. They tended to have other allergic disease. But as for why the onset, this is still perplexing. You know, in some cases, you know, for instance, in my own story that I gave, you know, talking about having had some issues as a child, I get told things like, well, by allergists, like, well, perhaps you were always a bit allergic to peanut, for instance, because I was that kid who didn't actually like a peanut butter sandwich. And aversion can come into play. It's not always the case. Mm-hmm. I'd eat shrimp tomorrow if they'd, you know, if I could. You know, certainly with peanut butter, I was the kid who said, you know, give me the tuna sandwich or the ham sandwich. I don't want peanut. You know, maybe I always didn't feel right afterward or something, but I didn't eat enough of it that it made a difference. Because, you know, for some individuals, the amount you eat could make a difference. And they say it's also possible that it can get worse. It depends on the individual. You know, some people will react, especially with something like peanut, very consistently, severely consistently. But it's, the variety we get. And the issue is that we just have not seen the studies in adults. And I'll be honest, as somebody who follows this as a journalist, as somebody with a magazine and representing, you know, we reach out to over a million readers across North America, you know, so I get frustrated sometimes because I would love to see more food allergy study of adults. I look at something like celiac disease, where we have 1% of the population pretty much in the world, except for, you know, pockets that are have a higher rate like Finland or Italy. And I say, well, you know, these people are doing tons of research. I wish we could get some of that going. And I know it's all funding, and I know I totally understand that, you know, with a new generation and younger people, that we want to try to get the children cured too. But I really wish we could get to some of the reasons behind the adult allergies as well.
Yeah, it would be really fascinating. Fascinating and useful.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have enough answers as to, you know, how can your immune system, how could I have eaten shrimp without issue, you know, 5 years before that? And suddenly I'm in a, you know, suddenly I was having like a massive allergic anaphylactic reaction. And there are many of us. So, you know, my story of being suddenly allergic to something like soy is still a bit uncommon. We don't hear that as much, but it's not to say it doesn't happen. So, you know, and I'm saying these Northwestern researchers did find all the major allergens represented among adults. So,
Wow. Okay. So now I want to ask you about some, as an adult onset allergy sufferer, what kind of practical measures did you have to adopt from having no reactions to then suddenly being anaphylactic?
Well, you definitely, well, the hardest for me by far was soy. Mm-hmm. I mean, at first I'm thinking, okay, there goes Asian food, you know, there won't be any more takeout or takeaway, as you folks would say, or going to restaurants. But it was so much beyond that, because soy is used as an emulsifier. It's used as sometimes as a cheap protein to add to foods. So it turns up in innumerable packaged goods. So I am the quickest label reader you ever saw, because I can just, you know, soar through it. I know exactly how to do it. But, you know, that was an adjustment that, you know, you had to adjust how you cook. In some ways, I think I cook healthier because I cook almost invariably from scratch. You know, so I'm sure you hear that from other people too. If there's sort of an upside to it, you pay more attention. You also notice things like the chemicals that they're putting in foods, because you do have your nose in the label all the time reading it. So you do see that. I think the hardest part sometimes is socially, because it's very hard. So people want to invite you over for dinner. It's tough to explain to other people. I do tricks like I always send an email to let somebody know if they're going to have me over, what I can and can't eat. I try to keep kind of brief, and I say if there's any issues at all, you know, I'm there for the company. I'm not there for, and I tend to be more inclined to go either to a restaurant where I can order myself or to have people over, because it can be challenging to explain to them, particularly about soy. So, you know, I'll have like a note that I can send just so that you know the host or hostess has it there to work from. You know, the other thing is, I will say, you know, if you have any labels, just keep them and I can take a look at them. If anything goes wrong, don't worry about it. I'll have salad or something. And, you know, if you're making a dressing and you think it's got soy in it, I can make an oil and vinegar. Just keep mine separate. You know, like just I try to keep it. I try not to close my life up because I have allergies. I still want to see people. I'm gregarious. I like to get out there. Restaurants, I don't know what it's like where you are, Nina, but a lot of them here and across, you know, in some of the big cities I travel to, New York and Washington and Chicago and LA and places like that, I find a lot of restaurants that are good. I'm very good at being the one in a group who will figure out which restaurant to go to. I'll always call ahead and just make sure they're okay with my allergies. Trick that I think is helpful to parents is, if I'm doing a business meeting, I don't want to, you know, this is, I'm thinking of parents dealing with teenagers and people who are going to be going out in the world. If I'm going to a business lunch, I don't maybe want to have the whole you know, topic of conversation become my allergies, which it can when you're sitting there in front of the waiter and you re-raise your allergies. Then those people who've sort of forgotten, oh yeah, you have allergies, that's right, then it turns away from maybe what you want the conversation to be. So what I will sometimes do is, I probably talk to the maitre d' on the way in, and I will sometimes say, okay, who's going to be my server? I'll take him aside and say, you know, here's my allergies, and I'm going to try to order from your menu, which I've already checked out ahead, but you tell me if there's an issue. So it becomes a smaller conversation and more directed with me rather than across the whole table. It's just a nice way of managing it and still getting it out there, still making sure you ask, but living it a little more successfully than having to turn every single conversation that you have when you go out into, let's discuss Gwen's allergies again.
Yes, because I mean, that's the thing. Allergies are, yes, they have a big impact on a person's life, but they're not the entirety of it. And they're so easy to, well, I say easy, but in the grand scheme of life, like avoiding certain food groups that you know you need to avoid is a quite a small thing. Like, there are many other, like, I guess for young people growing up with allergies, or even adults, you know, deciding on jobs and if you've got kids, you know, where your kids should go to school, or, you know, for teenagers taking their exams, choosing subjects they need for, you know, university or college, as you say, they're going to be much bigger decisions in the grand scheme of things than just what I'm, you know, going to have at dinner. It could be life-changing, but in the grand scheme of it, it's still a small part.
Well, it's life-changing in the sense that you have to do it. And if you avoid it, you're going to have reactions and you're going to end up in the hospital. You know, when I first, the other thing I remember is dessert avoidance. I can have a sweet tooth at times. But soy, again, or peanut in that case, are possible across context. So, you know, I, as a journalist, I would sometimes end up going to events and there's tables of food out. And, you know, I just had to say, look, you can't be bothering the big catering staff there or whatever. Just don't have the dessert. Yeah. And, you know, if you want a dessert, have your own at home later and have something safe. I also, I do believe in the safe snack in the purse. It'll it'll save you from temptation if something, you go somewhere and you're running hungry so you, that you don't eat something. Have that thing that you know, not have your epinephrine always. I don't eat without it. I'm just too high risk. I do, you know, the anaphylaxis I've had, you know, was severe. People always say, oh, I almost died or whatever. I don't know. I think we underrate sometimes how hardy a lot of us are, and we can come back from things. But I have no desire, even if it's just a severe reaction, to end up in the hospital in that kind of shape, you know, where you know, the not being able to, the feeling of not being able to breathe is, as you probably know yourself, Nina, is not one that anyone desires. So whenever I feel a little bit of temptation to do something, I try to remind myself that, you know, even though I feel very healthy, always have been, you know, in some ways healthier than other people. And I think that's something that we run into as these weird people with overreactive immune systems, is that we walk around and we look so healthy to other people. And they,
yeah.
I think that's part of the problem that we have in conveying how serious food allergies are, is if you don't feed me my particular poison, I'm great, you know, but just look out if you do. So,
exactly.
But yeah, it is. So it is challenging for sure. But it's, you know, and that's one of the reasons we started the magazine, was I could just see this whole, you know, new generation of allergy generation, some people call it. But, you know, you could see that people were getting the advice on the avoidance. There was a lot of talk, and there still is, about how we treat this. You know, there's a lot of work there. But what about the pure managing it and living it? And so that's the piece of it that I always hope that at the magazine that we help with. And, you know, even online, we've got a lot, tons of top 8 free recipes and things. So, you know, I hope people will take a chance to look at some of those, because I think it helps with life.
Oh, definitely. If someone, especially if you're new to allergies and you've got no idea where to turn, just having someone say, don't worry, this recipe is already free from your allergens, just go make it and then you've got food, and giving you step by step, I think is incredibly useful. I mean, for me, I've always had an allergy. So in some ways, I mean, I was talking to my mum about this. I actually interviewed my mum and my dad on the podcast to talk about how they dealt with it, because my mum doesn't have allergies. My dad has a mild almond peanut allergy, and we have a history of asthma and eczema in the family, but I'm the one with extreme allergies. And they were saying they couldn't imagine, you know, raising a teenager who's already lived through and got their own opinions on things, or even a young adult, and then they're suddenly lumped with extreme allergies, because then they've got to reevaluate the way they go about doing the life that they were so used to. And for me, it was so normal. And I grew up with my mum cooking everything from scratch, having to check all the labels. So for me, it was so normal. It wasn't a big fuss. It was, obviously, there were little hang-ups, you know, talking to other people, making sure that everything I was safe. And that's something I had to learn as a child and then become confident with as an adult. But yeah, it's, I mean, I guess the same as you starting allergic living and me starting Eat Allergy Safe in this podcast is, how do you manage in daily life? And how do you manage those challenges that come up, and, you know, help other people go, yes, you can do it. It might not be so nice now. It might be bleak now, but it's not going to stay that way.
Yeah, no, it's true. And what's interesting in dealing with, we've done some stories on adult allergies in the magazine. And we did find that a lot of the people we spoke to found it extremely confusing to have eaten a food, you know, like shellfish or nuts for without issue, you know, one day, and then the next they're having this huge reaction. So, and the other thing about adults is, you know, when you're introducing food to children, sometimes the reactions will come up very early in the introduction of the food to children. So you're feeding them, you know, one little thing, because you're trying to see how they're absorbing that anyway, when they're learning to eat solids.
Yeah.
And but with adults, what we eat is complex, you know, like somebody goes out and they have a reaction to a curry or a stew. Well, which particular ingredient in that whole melange of ingredients was it, you know? And it can be really quite difficult to understand. And we've also found a lot of different responses from adults, in that some become very fearful, And kind of almost start eliminating foods, other foods from their diets, just because they're suspicious without speaking to their allergist, which I don't recommend to anyone because, you know, a food avoidance is hard enough as it is. You know, you don't want to be avoiding extra things, that's for sure. And it's also not good health-wise. But then you get the people who are kind of in denial. And they don't carry Epi, and they, and especially you see this with adults. And I think, you know, you hear a lot more adults say, "Oh, well, I just have a mild allergy or something." And you're like, "Well, I might have had a mild allergy one day, and then it wasn't," you know. So, you know, we try to convey to people, you know, to take it seriously and to do that thing of carrying Epi and asking, but. You know, it's a hard process to persuade people, especially if they had that thing where, you know, there wasn't a problem one day and then the next there was. It does change your world. But if you are somebody who will then start getting repeated reactions, I think that will get your attention. But compliance is an issue with some people for sure. Especially, can I say, men? No, but because they don't like to carry, you know, they'll not carry things in their pockets. And you say, "Well, where's your epinephrine?" "Oh, I think it's in the car somewhere." "Well, where's the car?" "Oh, I didn't take the car today. I took the subway," you know. It's not good.
Yeah. So. I mean, I remember, I think I was about 17 or 18, and I was at a party, and I knew it was at one of my friend's houses. Her mum knew all about my allergy because she'd known me for, well, I'd went, her and her I went to school with her daughter. And I remember I was at this party and one of her sister's friends were there. It was a big, you know, lots of the school friends. And I knew he had a nut allergy like mine. And I was having a conversation with him and it turned out that he was like, "Oh, no, I don't have my adrenaline pen with me." And I was like, "What? What are you talking about? You don't, there are nuts here and you're going out and we're not staying in this place where, you know, the mum, the host, my friend's mum who's hosting it knows what's going on. And, you know, there are a history of allergy in her family and other, in the, her nieces or nephews." So she kind of, and just a very practical person anyway. And I was like, "You're not going to take your adrenaline pen on a night out. Are you stupid?" Like, you have it for a reason.
Well, absolutely. Shame them into it if you have to. But yeah. You know, it was funny. We were talking about why the adult allergies. I did just remember something as well. There was a researcher at Northwestern, Dr. Paul Bryce, and he did say to me, in an interview that they think, you know, because we talk about children, it's they're encountering the foods for the first time, you know, and you know, they're developing tolerance or not tolerance early in life. He actually thinks there's something going on where adults are losing tolerance to foods they've already been exposed to and able to eat. So that it may be an important difference between the two groups. Is, you know, instead of, you know, you think about young life, you're gaining tolerance by being exposed. But if you're losing, we'll, you know, we don't know whether the same things that we're trying. I mean, out of the UK, we're seeing these, you know, great studies and things saying that, you know, if there's a Gideon Lack saying that there's a window of opportunity to introduce peanut. And now they're starting to try to look at other foods, too. So if it's young, but this is something different when you're dealing with people losing their tolerance. And people shouldn't worry too much. Sometimes people be like, "Oh, my kid already has food allergies. Does this mean that they're going to get more?" Not necessarily. Lots of people don't. So, but, you know, I mean, the good news, I guess, if you already have an allergy issue, if you're running around carrying epinephrine, the rest of us who didn't have a clue weren't, you know, we were just out there going, "Say what?" You know, and I've had numbers of reactions that were, this is not untypical, in that I would have something to eat, and in retrospect, it had shellfish in it, but I would, you know, have to vomit or something, and I would think, "Boy, that sauce doesn't agree with me, mustn't try that again." You know, if you don't get the one of the problems we have is that not everybody gets hives. As much as hives are unpleasant to have, they are a really good clue that most people know that hives mean allergy. So if you burst out into them, you think, oh, wait a minute, am I having an allergic reaction? So it is sometimes, you know, challenging to even know what's going on when you're an adult.
Yeah, I mean, thinking back, I have had one really major reaction. No, I've had two very major reactions, one when I was a baby, one when I was 16, and then I've had some minor ones that haven't needed me to go into hospital. I was okay. But every single reaction I've had, and they've always been to peanuts, has been different. All of them.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just so the symptoms.
Yeah, all the symptoms have been different every time. And it's depended in what form I ate the peanut. And I think when I was a baby, I only know what my mum's told me because she experienced it. I don't remember. But then was the only time I've had hives. The other times, you know, I've had lip swelling. The really bad one when I was 16, my lips swole. I had the most horrendous stomach ache I have ever experienced ever. Like doubled over, felt sick, fatigue. But my throat didn't swell. But a year later, I had a mild reaction because I didn't swallow. It was a peanut-flavored jelly bean from the American-branded jelly bean company. In England, you don't have peanut-flavored jelly beans, so I assumed it was an English brand rather than American one. Just bit into it, spat it out. My lips swelled, my throat started to swell. But that's because I think I had a little bit of saliva that went down and it had peanut flavoring or extract, whichever it was. And that made my throat close. But the time I had the serious reaction and I was in hospital, my throat didn't close. But that reaction was more extreme. So it was, yeah, for me, it's very strange. But you kind of do realize that you're having a reaction. And it happens, for me, it happens within 5 minutes. So,
those were all pretty dramatic. So even if they were different, you could tell. Yeah, which is interesting. You know, one of the other things I should tell you about living with as an adult with food allergies is the other thing is it's confusing to your family and friends, you know, so it's one thing for you to adjust. They also have to adjust. So, you know, they're really, I've got them all well trained now, but in the early going, it's not that easy. I mean, I even had a sibling say to me, you know, we're going to order in Thai. Can't you just pick the shrimp out? It's like, duh, no. But you know, it's you have to kind of be a little bit patient. It's not that they want to kill you any more than, you know, a grandmother is setting out to do damage to a grandchild. They just sometimes don't get it. And you have to just slow up and explain it to them. You know, I had people say, well, who would put soy in a dessert? To which you say, you'd be surprised. You know, even soy flour is very common. And over here, a lot of people like drinking soy milk as sort of a healthy thing. And, you know, so it pops up where you least expect it. You know, you just over at a place, a new friend's place one day, and they're having a cup of tea. And I say, oh, I just take milk in mine. And and I just happened to say, because he wouldn't have thought that with a cup of tea, you know, and it was like, yeah, we were just going to pour soy milk in there. So you do have to look out all over the place. So I try to be patient with people who are new to it. It's hard when it's sort of old hat to you. But, you know, you have to do that thing where you do explain it to people and expect that they won't get it all right off the bat.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's the same with if you've had it from a child, and it's the same when it's an adult. It's really nice to hear that it's the same. So people with adult allergies can still take the same advice that are given to parents of allergic children. So just to wrap up, what are your top tips for anyone who's just been diagnosed with adult onset allergies?
Oh, I think the first one is, you know, to not become afraid of food and think that life is over, that it will be okay again. It's a learning process, but, you know, take a breath. It'll be okay. Just, you know, learn the steps to managing it. The second thing is always have a safe snack and your epinephrine with you. Both those things have to come with you all the time. Learn that. Learn to speak up for yourself and manage your disease. It is, as we were discussing, very manageable, but I think you just can't stay silent about it. The piece that we have to do, we're fortunate in many ways that this is a disease that is so manageable, mm-hmm. but it's only manageable if you are proactive and do it yourself. So that is in your hands, and you just, sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes you feel a little embarrassed. Get over it. It's the thing that'll keep you out of the hospital, and do it. So that's my message.
Absolutely. What sound advice. Well, Gwen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. 40 minutes has like flown by.
Nina, it's been an absolute delight. A pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, I will just stop the recording and then tell you what happens next. So that was Gwen Smith, editor and founder of Allergic Living magazine. And Allergic Living magazine is based in Canada and the USA. And unfortunately, they can't ship any magazines to the UK. But their website, which is allergicliving.com, is packed full of information, articles, recipes. I mean, I've had a little browse around it already when I was preparing for this interview. And there is so much information on there. I mean, it's been going for 12 years now and was started a year after Gwen's diagnosis. So she's really, this is part of her life. And they, if you want to get in touch with Gwen and the Allergic Living team, they're available on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find them under at Allergic Living. I was also, when I was talking with Gwen after our interview, she was giving me some great articles that you, any adult onset, what a tongue twister, adult onset allergy sufferers might be interested in. And with that, those are articles from other adult allergy sufferers. And so those will all be available in the show notes. And you can get the links for allergicmagazine.com in the show notes. Their Twitter handle will also be in the show notes. And I'll be putting loads of resources that Gwen is sending over to me. She's also been working with FAIR, which is the American Allergy Organization charity. And she said she did a webinar. So she's sending me over the link, and that will be on the show notes too. So that is Gwen, and we had a great chat. I couldn't believe that about 40 minutes had gone so quickly. So what else has been going on? So the recipe books, as some of you know, I am writing, are going really well, and I'm developing more recipes, refining some of them. I have a chocolate fudge cake that's looking really good. And actually, if any of you are on Skillshare, I have also started teaching. So I've become an instructor on Skillshare, and Skillshare is a website that you can sign up for to learn things. There are some free courses and there are some paid courses. So my cooking ones are paid, but the best thing about this is you just pay a monthly fee, and then you get all the courses on the entire website. I am working on a way that you can buy individual courses, but that's taking a little longer than I expected to get up and running. I am employing some computer technical help to get that up, and I will let you know as soon as that is going. If you'd like any preview videos of the various cooking tutorials I'm doing, they're available on the Eat Allergy Safe YouTube channel. They will also be posted on the Facebook page with links to Skillshare and wherever the videos and tutorials are available. You also get free recipe cards with all the video tutorials. That's it for now. If anyone would like to be on the podcast, I am looking for anyone who has an allergy story. Do you have something you want to share? Do you have some wisdom you'd like to impart? Something you've learned, a challenge you've overcome? I want to hear from you. So please get in touch. You can email me through admin@eatallergysafe.com. And I want to hear about your story. So please get in touch as soon as possible. I will be doing the next round of interviews for the podcast very, very soon. And you could have your story on the podcast. Okay, until next time. Goodbye for now.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.